Welcome back to our Psalms of Histories series. David is on the run again. He is back in the wilderness. His son Absalom has led a revolt. He's taken the throne. There's a lot of uncertainty. Is this the transition? Is this the succession of authority? Is Absalom God's anointed? Is David being put out to pasture? So many things going on within the heart of David. As he's back in the wilderness, as he's on the lam, as he's looking for safety and security, his life is very much being threatened, along with the rest of his mighty men. Two psalms we're going to look at here, I think, are very relevant. They give us insight into things that David was dealing with below the surface. Again, the histories give us the events, but the Psalms, as they relate to these stories, give us the heart. What is going on spiritually within David? He writes prolifically. He writes continually. And he's, even while in exile here, writing these Psalms, expressing himself. It gives us insight into the man. Psalm 55 we'll begin with. It's titled, Trust in God Concerning the Treachery of Friends. You could see how that would be very relevant to what David was going through. It's an imprecatory psalm. It has messianic undertones to it. It's titled to the chief musician with stringed instruments, a compilation of David. So its authorship is given directly to David. He begins here, Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me. Hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. Here's David being honest with God. He's pouring himself out before God. God, I'm struggling. God, I'm having a hard time with this. I need you to give your ear to me. I need you to hear me. I need you to answer. I need you. You know, it's okay to come and pour yourself out, even in raw ways, to God. Verse 4, my heart is severely pained within me. And man, as a father of sons, there's nothing more that you want in life than to have relationships with your sons moving forward. As you age, I can imagine there's nothing more delightful in seeing your sons grow, seeing these boys become men, seeing them meet women and have babies and have jobs and careers and serve the King, King Jesus. I can't wait. I've got a about to be 14-year-old, a 10-year-old about to be 11, and a 7-year-old. I mean, I cannot wait to watch my kids grow up. And yet David here, he has one son that's been murdered. He has a daughter who's been defiled. He has another son who hasn't really even spoken to at any length in approximately 7 years. There's been this wedge between them that has caused Absalom to take the actions that he has. And David, his last words was peace. It was the last word to Absalom, peace be with you. And Absalom goes to Hebron and leads this revolt. And David says, my heart is severely pained. I can imagine. He says, the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me. And horror has overwhelmed me. And you know, David, this mighty man, is acknowledging his own fear. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, and I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Have you ever felt that way? Oh, if I had wings, I would love to just escape my situation, just be done with it, move beyond it, disappear. Verse 8, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. And then there's this resolve. He says, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, or foster confusion among my enemies. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around. They go around it on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man of equal, my companion, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in the throng. Imagine the relationship David had before all these things happened with Absalom. It hurt even more. You know, it's one thing to experience the active oppression of your enemy. You expect your enemy to act like an enemy. It doesn't catch you off guard. You can see it coming. You know the intention isn't your benefit. So much worse when it's a friend. It comes upon you unexpectedly. It hurts differently. It catches you off guard. Let death seize them, verse 15. Let them go down alive into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them. Even he who abides from of old, Selah, because they do not change. Therefore they do not fear God. He's speaking to the character of these people that are against him. He's trusting in God to defend him, to bring a resolution to matters. His job was to cry out to God. It's God's job to take the action. Verse 20, he has put forth his hand against those who are at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Spoke so well, so eloquently, and yet beneath the surface was evil intent, ulterior motives. And then he says to himself, verse 22, I have this highlighted, boldened, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. You know, that's a promise. It's a promise you need to repeat. You need to remind, you need to write down, you need to hold on with your dead, lifeless fingers, especially in the midst of betrayal and hurt. He closes, but you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. Another psalm, I think, very reflectant, relevant, apt to this particular season of David's life is Psalm 62. We'll look at this one before we close. Psalm 62, again, it's to the chief musician, to Jeduthun. So it was written to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Its title is A Calm Resolve to Wait for the Salvation of God. Again, you can see how this is very relevant. He begins, truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. You know, we talk about taking confidence. Confidence, what an interesting word. Please don't find your confidence in yourself. So often people will find their confidence and their strength, their wisdom, their beauty, their savviness, their ability to read situations, to act. They take confidence in their own flesh and their ability. And yet David, who is a king and could have taken much confidence in himself, he already had come to understand his frailty. Very powerful ways. And yet very clearly here, he's placing his confidence, not in himself. He's placing his confidence in God. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. Selah, consider. My soul, he speaks to himself, my soul, wait silently for God alone. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. And because of that, I shall not be moved. And God, my salvation and my glory, and God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. He speaks, verse 8, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Imagine David singing the song to his cast of characters there in the wilderness in unison. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. They come, they go. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. That's pretty light, pretty insignificant. Lacking of substance. Verse 10, do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery and riches. If riches increase, do not set your heart on them. God has spoken once, twice. I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you rendered to each one according to his works. And powerful passages related to David, his experiences in the wilderness on the run from his son Absalom. If you enjoyed these Psalms, check out our website, calvary316.tv/histories. From that page, not only can you find these studies on Psalms, but you can find the Bible studies that they connect back to, the stories that they're relevant, that they give us insight concerning the heart of David as he's going through various types of experiences. God bless.